Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Philadelphia's Fairmount Park system consists of dozens of parks with 9,200 acres and claims to be the largest landscape park in the nation. Schuylkill River waterfront attractions, including the Drives, Boathouse Row, and the Philadelphia Museum of Art, bring big crowds. But other attractions in East and West Fairmount Park lag. A new master proposal unveiled this week looks in part to correct that. Let's learn more with Harris Steinberg, executive director of Penn Praxis, a nonprofit consultant to the redesign plan. Mr. Steinberg, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
My pleasure, Dave.
Mr. Steinberg, there have been no lack of ideas. This is the third strategic plan in the past, I believe, 6 years. What are the highlights of this one?
This one really is about looking strategically at the entire park, East and West Park, which is a 2,050-acre watershed park that stretches from the Falls River Bridge in East Falls down to the MLK Bridge near the Art Museum. And rather than look at components of the park, it really posits the question, how do we make a 19th century watershed park relevant for the 21st century?
So is it primarily speaking to the connectivity between all the different parts?
That's a big piece of it. And one of the things we learned as we got deeper into the research for this project is that the park itself was never really designed as a park. It was aggregated over 50-plus years from landscapes and estates that were put together to create a protection zone for the Philadelphia water supply system. So it distinguishes itself automatically from what we think about as urban parks, which are typically carved whole cloth out of parts of the city in order to stimulate the real estate market.
And as such, many residents in many parts of the city have limited access to the park.
Exactly. Because, again, there's this tension between the original intent, which is to protect the water supply, and recreation and access. And that's compounded by both natural and man-made features. You have that wonderful kind of cliff or escarpment on the east side, but that makes it very difficult to get from Strawberry Mansion down to the river. And on the west side, we put the Schuylkill Expressway there in the 1940s, which is kind of a man-made cliff. So access, connectivity, and getting through the park is a critical issue to address.
Many would endorse the idea of getting rid of the Schuylkill Expressway, but short of that, what are some more easily attainable and short-term remedies?
Well, interestingly enough, there are 16 creeks and streams in the park, something that we don't really ever think about when we drive through or even kind of walk or bike through the park. But those are, in many ways, the connective tissue from the uplands down to the river. Now, the expressway cut off a whole number of those. And one of our proposals was, when they rebuild the expressway, let's put it up on stilts or make it like a Roman aqueduct, if you will. Let the park come underneath it, let the streams flow again, and create that kind of connectivity and access from the Chamonix Woods down to the river.
What are some thoughts, though, that would be of avail to those who are using the park now and over the next few years?
One of the early action ideas that is being discussed and studied is to actually create a pedestrian-activated traffic light along Kelly Drive at the base of one of the streams that connects, in this case, Strawberry Mansion with Kelly Drive. So you have a segment of a trail along what's called Randolph Creek, which comes from the East Park Reservoir down to the drive, and then just stops. If you were to get to the bottom of there, the traffic that whizzes by on Kelly impedes you from crossing. So by having a pedestrian-activated traffic light, very simple but in many ways radical idea, you could actually have that kind of connectivity from river to neighborhood and have the added benefit of slowing traffic down and calming the traffic. Those are the kind of projects that could be done relatively quickly. You know, they're not tomorrow, but relatively quickly, as opposed to kind of bigger ideas like new pedestrian bridges, grandstands, boathouses, and putting the Schuylkill Expressway up on stilts.
In a city with obvious budget constraints, I'm wondering what resources, meaning money and manpower, are available now to bear on the issue.
Well, the city is expecting to use some of their capital funds. They're working with local council people to kind of leverage funds that are both that council has as well as the city's capital budget. And then there are philanthropic dollars that are also potentially available for those kinds of early actions. I think that people really respond to quick hits in terms of seeing that these are not just long-range plans that are going to sit on the shelf for 20 years, but as you said, what can you do tomorrow? And those are the kind of things that I think will get people excited and behind the plan, which ultimately helps propel the bigger ideas forward.
Weigh in on a notion that for many is a dirty word, that being a park tax for non-city residents.
Well, other municipalities have that. St. Louis has a regional tax system that is actually by state between Missouri and Illinois. Philadelphia and its suburbs have not really addressed that issue. It's certainly something I think that should be on the table, that should be part of perhaps the debate in the mayor's race that's coming up. We have tremendous assets here in the city that really are regional assets. How do we ensure that they get the support they need, not only from the city, from the region, should be part of the public dialogue.
It seems that many of the more accessible and popular aspects of the park abut wealthier neighborhoods. And I'm wondering if this democratization plan, as it were, to expand the usage of the park in total, will also redound to some of the lesser neighborhoods.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, there's a plan in place to create a children's and young adults kind of playground and sprayground and park amenity in East and West Parkside, right next to the Please Touch Museum. So there's a lot of thought being given to how do we invite all the communities around the park, but particularly those that are of lesser means, into the park. The communities that live around the park, there's about 70,000 people who have direct access to the park within a 10-minute walk. And it's those communities from Winfield Heights to Parkside to Strawberry Mansion to Brewery Town to Fairmount to East Falls that in many ways are our prime audience. How do you get those folks in a way that really is welcoming? Because you've got lots of other boaters and runners and bikers that use this in specific ways, but it's the communities on the edges that in some ways are really the primary audience.
Finally, don't leave without telling us about some under-the-radar assets along the park that you would want people to make a point to visit.
Well, there's so much hidden infrastructure that was put in the 19th century and the early 20th century that in our kind of haste to modernize and allow the car to overtake the sense of experience of the park that are still there but overgrown. So, for instance, there's a wonderful set of stairs that takes you down from the Girard Avenue Bridge right to Kelly Drive. It's hard to get over the drive once you're there because, again, there's not the traffic light, but the stairs exist. There are a multitude of those kinds of stairs. There's another one on the west side near Cedar Grove along Warner Creek that were put in for the centennial celebration. The creeks themselves, if you can begin to uncover the 16 creeks and streams, you'll experience that park more like the Wissahick and then what we typically think of as a more manicured Fairmount Park. So there's both natural and man-made wonders that really are literally underground that you have to kind of spend some time finding, but once you're there, your perception of the park radically changes.
Mr. Steinberg, thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
My pleasure, Dave.
Harris Steinberg is executive director of Penn Praxis, a nonprofit consultant to the redesign plan.